Welcome back. Maybe we could use a dose of honesty in America. Could we be honest with ourselves and one another? Good grief. Top of the third hour, this Tuesday, November 26, 2019. Military service is an interesting subject. Love of country is one thing, but to become a sycophant of a rogue political regime is another thing. You know, you listen to folks like Henry Kissinger and Zbigniew Brzezinski. You know, Brzezinski, you listen to like a cross section or a collection of some of his media and news appearances, and he, to me, again, I mean, he sounds like the Irwin Mainway kind of guy. You know, I mean, we don't lie. We never, we don't lie in, United States foreign policy. We never lie, except, when we have to lie, and then we lie a little bit, but we don't lie. Deception, I mean, that's what happens when when deception becomes sort of a way of life in culture. I mean, I've mentioned Bastiat's words. From economic sophisms, when plunder becomes a way of life for a group of men in society, over the course of time they create for themselves a legal system that authorizes it and a moral code that glorifies it. An AUMF. An authorization for use of military force, that kind of thing. I've mentioned Adam Smith's words from The Wealth of Nations. When it comes to the militia, Smith observed, in a militia, the character of the laborer, artificer, or tradesman predominates over that of the soldier. In a standing army, that of the soldier predominates over every other character. I mean, go look at your local recruiting office for the Air Force, for example, and you will see, or watch those new Army commercials. It's cool. It's sexy. It's great. You're going to get to play with, all the post-human future biotechnology and technological tools that guys like Francis Fukuyama talk about. It's great. But, Sun Tzu reminds us that all war is based on deception. That's right from chapter one. All warfare is based on deception. Hence, when we're able to attack, we must seem unable. When using our forces, we must appear inactive. When we are near, we must make the enemy believe we're far away. When we're far away, we must make him believe we are near. So how does that coincide with the Fabian initiative? And more importantly, when you have a society that is, becoming more and more characteristically identified by this sort of culture and this psychopathy, what does it mean when you're becoming identified by this sort of deception? I mean, is that, again, not something that comes out of the Bernaysian era, the propaganda era? Speaking of military propaganda, we have all these conflicts. Again, I think of Patrick Porter's Soldiers Fighting Alone, the wars of the market security state. America is not at war. The Marines are at war. America is at the mall. But even that's not accurate, because the Marines are not at war. America has not been at war since, Congress declared war on December 8, 1941. After the provoked bombing of Pearl Harbor. Provoked? How dare you? Yeah. Read Day of Deceit. For those who don't know. I mean, listen to James Perloff. Listen to what Patrick Claussen said about that back in 2012, that clip we play over and over, about 60 seconds long. I frankly think that crisis initiation is tough. Really? And if compromise is not coming, someone else should start the war. It's not a war. Day of Deceit, The Truth About FDR and Pearl Harbor by Robert Stinnett. Or any book by William Bloom or anything that Peter Dale Scott has written. Or. So America's not at war and the Marines are not at war. America's at the mall, the Marines are in a conflict. So like I said, you know, the list of wars involving the United States, that's pretty interesting. That's an interesting list. But these lists of conflicts, you know, this is interesting. I think while I'm on it, you know, I'll just mention the Oracle Wikipedia. I'm joking based on what we were talking about yesterday. You know, the Oracle illusion, as Jaron Lanier puts it, in You Are Not a Gadget, a manifesto, and his article from a million years ago, at least in technology terms, back May 29, 2006, Digital Maoism, The Hazards of the New Online Collectivism. It's everywhere. Collectivism. Resistance is futile. You will be assimilated. Anyway, so these conflicts, 21st century, this includes all domestic conflicts and terrorist attacks took place within the United States. This includes all domestic conflicts. I think it's interesting that things like, you know, Waco, Ruby Ridge, they're not mentioned in there. That's funny. You know, Kent State might be something that we could add, and there are others. None of those are mentioned. The internment of Japanese Americans. I don't know. That's probably going beyond the pale of domestic conflict. Terrorist attacks. So list of conflicts, you know, 2001 to present lists the war on terror, the first war on a concept, which is preposterous and absurd on the face of it, but try telling the average unwashed American that. September 11, 2001, attacks, of course, and the 2007 Fort Dix attack, and then 2009 Fort Hood shooting, and then 2014 Fort Hood shooting, which, you know, the reason I mentioned those three, and then, well, speaking of those three, reminds me of Cold Spring Harbor. And, you know, Fort Hood has its own little Cold Spring Harbor going on. Fort Dix, same thing. You look at these incidents and you find, you know, strong correlation to the minds of men. Aaron and Melissa Dykes, you know, he was hearing voices. What happened? He was on psychotropics, hearing voices. Never mind that. The Boston Marathon bombing, again, you know, who is Graham Fuller? Uncle Ruslan and Graham Fuller hanging out. What could possibly go wrong? Just ask the Sarnoff brothers. They'll tell you. The Bundy standoff and the Malheur occupation. You know, and I'm just going to say this, and this is probably going to garner some ire, and I understand, but I had Ammon Bundy on this broadcast the day before, I think it was, of the march that resulted in ultimately the occupation of the Misfortune National Wildlife Refuge, Malheur. My French is poor, I apologize. So he was on this broadcast, and, you know, there was obviously no, mention, you know, the march in support of the Hammonds, Dwight and Stephen. There was no mention of what happened beforehand. So anyway, I just, seeing these appearances and things, you know, the standoff that is just completely implausible. What would happen if you or I were in that situation, or a group of our compatriots, so to speak? things would go much different, I would dare say. So then you have this, and then you have the other situations that have been occurring, and, you know, hearing these guys speak in different places. I mean, no offense, but it just seems like a Judas goat situation. And I'm not saying that, you know, I guess what I am saying to that is the Judas goat doesn't always know it is. Sometimes it has no idea. Anyway, so I think it's a curious thing, you know, that it just seems to play into the whole fracturing and balkanizing of America, you know, especially, particularly that, you know, the redoubt sort of contingent. And I don't want to get off on that tangent, but what I am trying to say is it's interesting once you start investigating these, you know, conflicts and things. Now it's not war, it's conflict. And you have the false flag element, the provocational element that has been confessed and disclosed time and time again. You know, we play that clip, but just a couple of examples. You know, you have Brzezinski confessing that's what happened that provoked the Soviets into the invasion of Afghanistan. Of course, Pearl Harbor is a big one. Again, Day of Deceit. You can listen to James Perloff. He'll tell you all about it. Foreign policy experts like Patrick Clausen will tell you all about it. It's how these things, we got to play that over and over. Before John, little Johnny, little Sally should never enlist, quite frankly. Before little Johnny is conscripted, a couple of things. Maybe first read Smedley Butler's War's a Racket. Maybe we could do that. We'll take the profit out of war. There's no more military industrial complex that, you know, we make obscene profits on bombs. We don't need any more bombs. Well, then we better drop some so that we can make some more. Take the profits out of war and then have people listen to that clip. Patrick Clausen. This is, you know, the traditional way America gets to war. Only it's not war. Is it? And how about Wes Clark talking about the 1991 Shia uprising, which we provoked and then got out of the way? Remember George Herbert Walker Bush, Saddam Hussein invaded Kuwait. We're gonna have to. That was a provocational, a response to provocation. Wes Clark talked about it, wrote about it in his book. Mentioned it at places like the Commonwealth Club back in 2007. Casually referring to provocation that resulted ultimately in all kinds of, you know, how is Iraq these days? Failed state. Still failed. Still just can't, still stalled. Can't quite get started. How is the region? Remember, speaking of Wes Clark, 7 countries in 5 years. How are things these days over there? War is dishonest, conflict is dishonest, and then you get into all of these other, you know, the dirty war component. You know, irregular warfare, nonlinear war, guerrilla warfare, all that kind of stuff. I mentioned articles like this, 2016, inside the shadowy PR firm that's lobbying for regime change in Syria. Why would that be happening? Well, for a variety of reasons. And then Color Revolution, right? Venezuela analysis, that's an interesting article. Colored Revolutions, a new form of regime change made in USA. In 1983, the strategy of overthrowing inconvenient governments and calling it democracy promotion, quote-unquote, was born. And in 2003, the Albert Einstein Institute touched ground in Venezuela. Color Revolution is a very inexpensive, non-kinetic, low-intensity operation to destabilize so that you can, you know, cripple and cause failed state status and impose sanctions and no-fly zones and all that crap. USAID comes in, the State Department is the mouthpiece of the CIA, all that stuff. Anyway, read anything William Bloom has written. You know, the Color Revolution and related components are referred to as the Brzezinskis as, or by the Brzezinskis as, you know, as in, you know, the Kissingers and the Brzezinskis, those kinds of folks, the mouthpieces. As humanitarian efforts, right? So, anyway, you understand what I'm saying. I just need to stop because, you know, it's ridiculous. Young people need to know these things before they are conscripted to military service, and then we don't have a suicide epidemic. The militia is the constitutionally mandated first line of defense until the regulars show up. Anyway, you know what I'm talking about. I'm preaching to the choir. To the phones, Lloyd in Arizona. Thanks for calling. Welcome.
Yeah, hey, Chris.
Hi, Lloyd.
Hi. Talking about the Bundy. That's very interesting. I was in a independent political party in southern Utah, and which is in St. George, is about half hour away from where the Bundys were from.
Mm-hmm.
And they had a very genuine Christian, folksy, you know, farmer type attitude when I met them a few times, talked with them. Ammon and, you know, the, I think it was Ammon, but definitely, the father. And it totally, I mean, I would have to say there's definitely something where they did not realize that they were the Judas goat.
Mm-hmm.
But you could see around them, they had, like, for instance, they, Cliven and his wife, they drove like a RAV4. It didn't look like they were, gaining monetarily in any way. Now, maybe they could have been all up front. That's fine. But, they did have a lot of people around them. You know, they were surrounded by, ex-Blackwater folks. You know, types that didn't really fit their mold, but they were, you know, ex-military guys. And
yeah.
So they were, you know, they were surrounded by these people. And
there's an article that I want to mention. Yeah, if you can hang out, we'll talk more on the other side of this break about that.
Cool.
Stick around, folks. We'll be right back after this short break.
Many people tell us about their experience with Extendivite. Just listen to what Glenn has to say.
Prior to taking it, I had diabetic neuropathy. The Extendivite reduced that significantly. Acid reflux was reduced. I had athlete's foot, very severe. Trimmed that down to about 75% dandruff. Almost completely gone. I had occipital neuralgia at the base of my skull. I was having migraines, reduced by about 90%. Heart palpitations, my heart would kind of stall out. I would skip a beat. Very uncomfortable. And when walking from downstairs going to sleep, by the time I got to the bedroom, which is just one flight of stairs, my heart was pounding, coming out of my chest. My vision was blurry. This completely solved that problem. Great product. Thanks.
Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Welcome back. So my mind again going a million miles an hour, but just real quick, you know, the first thing that I think of is Mike Rivero's "All Wars Are Bankers' Wars." By the way, what happened to that? Where did that go? It seems to not be in the same spot. Mike, where did that go? The article I was thinking of, Lloyd, with respect to what you were saying about the folks who had, you know, this Praetorian Guard, I would call it, of the Bundys. The article is part 15 of Aline Brown's Intercept series. I think the series is titled Oil and Water. And it's about the DAPL stuff, Dakota Access Pipeline, Standing Rock stuff. But part 15 was titled "The Infiltrator: How an Undercover Oil Industry Mercenary Tricked Pipeline Opponents into Believing He Was One of Them." Part 15, the little excerpt says, "A former Marine working for the private security firm Tiger Swan infiltrated an array of anti-Dakota Access Pipeline groups at Standing Rock and beyond." And just some other, you know, interesting. You know, part two is titled "Standing Rock Documents Expose Inner Workings of Surveillance Industrial Complex," quote unquote. That's interesting. Part seven, "Police Use Private Security Aircraft for Surveillance in Standing Rock No Fly Zone." And part 10, "An Activist Stands Accused of Firing a Gun at Standing Rock. It Belonged to Her Lover, an FBI Informant." So this is sort of emblematic of a culture, I would say. And again, I think of Patrick Claussen's remarks. Maybe we'll play that clip. And what Jordan Peterson said about Nazi Germany, you know, how a totalitarian state is actually formed. And he talked about how I think it was 1 in 3 people in Nazi Germany was an informant. And this is becoming, you know, in America now, it seems that's just, well, that's just good business. That's just what you do. And so I think it speaks to directly to what we're talking about, you know, with regard to the Bundys in particular and your experience specifically. Lloyd, what do you think?
Yeah, I agree. It is something that set my discernment radars off when I never went down there for the standoff into one in Mesquite, or it's near Mesquite, Bunkerville, Nevada.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
down there. I never went. You know, I was affiliated with the militia totally, and all about it. But I was also aware of, you know, the history of the FBI and their what did they call it? It was like Operation
Patriot.
Well, COINTELPRO for sure, but you know, their operations specifically against the militia in the United States during the 90s, you know, the one that Bill Cooper was a part of. Not that Bill Cooper was an agent, I hope not. But, you know, during that time of Waco, when that operation was in high gear, and I think that the operation is still around because they're
You're
terrified.
Talking about PatCon, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what it reminded me of, that's yeah. what was going on.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I think that operation is, you know, I think they're still very afraid of the militia because, first of all, it's right there in the Second Amendment. So it's very clear that could be something that would be organized quickly. You know, Edwin Vieira,
mm-hmm.
you aware of him?
Mm-hmm.
Edwin yeah. Vieira would often talk to our militia. We would just call him. He'd be like, "Yeah, I'll talk to you guys." And he was all about calling it Homeland Security. What he would say it would be like your state homeland something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he was not about calling it a militia. And you know, we're like boo-hoo on that.
True. I'm actually,
but, you know, yeah.
I've wondered about Edwin Vieira lately. I've wondered, do you know what's going on with him?
Oh, I haven't talked to him in like 4 or 5 years. No,
yeah,
I have no idea. I haven't kept up with him, but yeah, he is definitely a, you know, he's an outcast. Doesn't get a lot of play. I mean, he talks to our tiny little militia just on the phone for
right on.
Just to teach us.
We're headed into a break.
So anyway,
stick around, folks. We'll be right back.
Tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855, the number 2, keep it today.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
When your doctor tells you you have bad cholesterol or blockages in the arteries, what do you do? When diet and exercise is not enough, we try medications and hope for the best. For the last 2 decades, I have been telling people about a natural method to help solve these problems and more. Extendivite can help maintain cardiovascular health and lower blood lipid levels in adults. The 7 herbs in Extendivite are known to work together synergistically to get the results we hope for. There are many testimonials on Extendivite's effect on circulatory-related ailments. Get Extendivite today to start your journey back to a healthier life. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or see us on amazon.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Back. Speaking of force, the old aphorism applies with force, pun intended. If it's a good idea, it does not require force. Speaking of Edwin Vieira and Homeland Security and all that nonsense, he wrote that piece back in 2005, Homeland Security, for what and for whom, in wherein he mused, too many people, however, naively accept this term at face value without asking the vital probing questions, what security and whose security? And I suppose a companion to that would be, I always think of the Rand Corporation's book on Homeland Security, preparing the U.S. Army for Homeland Security, Concepts, Issues, and Options. And that was published 5 months or so before September 11, 2001, which kind of reminds you of the PNAX, Rebuilding America's Defenses, those kinds of things. How fortuitous when you consider the confessions of the Brzezinskis of the world when they say, yeah, sometimes, you know, we don't cause a thing to happen, but we create a set of circumstances in which it becomes almost implausible this thing won't happen. Like the Soviet invasion of Afghanistan. You know, so everyone can maintain compartmentalization and plausible deniability and, you know, do the thumb wagging. Anyway, I appreciate your points, Lloyd, and your call, and parting thought before we go to other calls.
I think that's exactly what happened with the Bundys. You know, they create that environment where they knew, they knew what the reaction would be. I guess you could say it's kind of the Hegelian dialectic type deal.
Yeah,
but it's it is. I wish I had some hope there. But I would
I would still encourage people, you gotta do what you can do. Just go to, you know, join the militia. Join your local militia. If there isn't one, you start one. So I appreciate it.
Well, thanks for your call. Much appreciated. Yeah, I would say, you know, to me, the first order of business is always to get knowledged up, because there's a minefield. You know, Lloyd brought it up. The challenge with involvement in the militia these days is it's almost entirely, I would say, a COINTELPRO, you know, PATCON sort of operation. But I'm glad. Wait, no, PATCON was revealed, what, back in 2007? And that doesn't happen anymore. I'm glad that doesn't happen anymore. But anyway, yeah. Moving on, I guess. Back to the phones, William in Montana. Thanks for calling. Welcome.
Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, William.
I always like the fact that you are always bringing up books to read.
Yeah.
Because books, even though we have to be very conscious about the authors, their history, their lineages, you know, you can always look away. You can read a chapter and then look away and let your own juices start working with this material. You're not being led down the digital pathway, you know, the wide and narrow to wonderment mm-hmm. and everything.
Yeah.
So I think that's always a subtle thing that you always are doing, which I think people need to understand just how important those references to books are, as opposed to some, you know, path to a new and improved website.
Yeah.
As mentioned earlier, you know, many of us know the value of keeping our children away from vaccines, GMO frankenfoods, herbicides, poisoned water, poisoned air. And, you know, we know this as parents, intelligent parents, because under the guise of protecting and nurturing their young bodies, they are in fact being changed by a kinder, gentler form of eugenics, or worse. But the same thing is going on digitally under the guise of protecting, nurturing, enlightening us. You know, it's such an easy path to new information. And I'm reminded when you mention, you know, making the enemy believe they are, you know, that they are far away from us,
mm-hmm.
when in fact they're very near.
Yeah,
you know, in fact, they're inside our heads, and more devastatingly, inside the heads of our children.
Yeah.
You know, and even independent of whether these children are alive today or yet to be born, that's when you create this all-inclusive structure that seems like everyone is born into, you know, the situation is set not only for us, but, you know, we raise the children to say, stay away from the frankenfoods, but, hey, have you seen this new computer? You know, we have a new iPad now. You can tuck it under your arm. You can put it in your backpack, and it will give you a competitive edge. You know, and we think this as parents in a digital age that, you know, we have to do this. We must do this. So, you know, we have to understand that in the very process of using these digital tools, we are being changed. We're being directed. We're being controlled, you know, because parts of us, our body, And this very nebulous and little understood thing called, what, mind, which is made up of weird things called memory, you know, language, code, all of which is kind of, in real time, once we're hooked up to this stuff, is being rewritten. And you know, while we're being told the enemy is far away, you know, new code, new words, new symbols, fears, angers, you know, bewilderment is being silently, you know, kind of inserted. And, you know, I always wonder, like, well, wait, but will this happen if we just use it a little, you know, very carefully, you know, intelligent consumers?
Sure.
You know, we're told or we're led to believe that the damage can only really be done if we become addicted, you know. So, you know, we're told it's cool, we're covered. Of course, you know, we have to ask, what is a little?
Yeah,
you know, how much
exactly.
penetration is needed to insert the seed mm-hmm. of control? You know, we have to get way down to understanding how this works at an incredibly complex level of detail. You know, like I'm always thinking, like, well, what happens if one escapes through great vigilance and effort? Does that really change this social equation that we've become a part of? Even if we don't get sick immediately or obviously, have we become a carrier?
Mm-hmm.
You know, slowly taking more chances, just another taste, one more dip, and slowly but surely we come to see how, well, maybe our concerns of the past were overblown,
mm-hmm.
you know, which is another form of convince the enemy is now far away.
Yeah.
I was rereading a book last night by Jaron Lanier called Who Owns the Future?
Mm-hmm.
And I put a little slip in there because this quote blew me away. And in that, if I may, I'd like to read this
yes.
quote.
Please.
It says, a heavenly idea comes up a lot in what we might call the Silicon Valley metaphysics. And I've been there, man. I'll tell you, they have a highly developed, often unspoken, but a highly developed metaphysics. And it operates under the surface or flat out right in your face. Okay, a heavenly idea comes up a lot in what we might call the Silicon Valley metaphysics. We anticipate immortality through mechanization. A common claim in utopian technology culture is that people, well, perhaps not everyone, will be uploaded into the cloud computing servers later in this century, perhaps in a decade or two, to become immortal in virtual reality. Or, if we are to remain physical, we will be surrounded by a world animated with robotic technology. We will float from joy to joy. Even the poorest among us living like theoretic magicians. We will not have to call forth what we wish from the world, for we will be so well modeled by statistics in the computing clouds that the dust will know what we want. That is a very dangerous form of metaphysics.
Yikes.
And it is something, I mean, when you start believing that we will be so adequately, perfectly modeled by these algorithms in the computing cloud that the dust will know what we want. I mean, that is a very dangerous belief. And when it's at this metaphysical level, I mean, you can't even point it out to someone. It's basic. It's underneath. It's the controlling medium. And so, you know, we might think, well, we're intelligence consumers. what we don't understand at beneath the surface is a whole other animal that has been intentionally put into play by people who know a hell of a lot more about how the mind functions, how the fears are aroused,
mm-hmm.
you know, and or how the anger is aroused. I mean, there's a lot of ways to put you in prison, you know.
Yep.
They can capture you by just dominating you, or they can get you so angry that you're basically ineffectual from yep. there on out. That's another thing that, you know, Lao Tzu says, you know, if you can generate fear or anger in your enemy, you have a distinct advantage.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you've got to learn how to defeat them before you even step foot on the battlefield.
Yep.
You know, if you go onto the battlefield thinking that you're just going to use strength and intelligence and skill to win, you're at a distinct disadvantage.
Yeah.
And that's what we need to be aware of.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
I would also, you know, you've mentioned this, the superiority of books. You know, this is in context, and this is a subject that has come up from time to time. I remember last year when I was challenged, I forget who it was, you know, who the caller who asked, why do you hate the interwebs? And I don't, but I think, you know, you have made the case very well the last couple of days, and that I think is enough. We could let it stand there. But I would just add, speaking of MKUltra, speaking of Aaron and Melissa Dykes, the minds of men, you know, which to me, again, the big takeaway for me from that was that this whole drug culture was really, you know, the what came out of those congressional hearings back in the 70s, Church Committee in particular, was that the folks who were doing that stuff used the drug culture aspect as they turned that into a modified limited hangout, and that's really kind of where that stayed. Aaron and Melissa Dykes, I think, make a great case for the fact that the same people were using high technology, digital technology, to do the same things that were arguably more nefarious and terrifying. And so to your point about the digital stuff, I would just add the thing that I've mentioned from time to time, the 60 hertz issue. And, you know, we talk about how the television puts someone in an alpha state. I talked about the correlation to the demonic stuff from Gary Kaa's Demonic Roots of Globalism, and the 60 hertz, you know, that flicker rate on the monitor, for example, while you're reading that stuff, how does that play into all that you discuss? So I would just say that's just another sort of anecdotal, you know, component also.
Well, we have to understand, I mean, I know a lot about this sort of electromagnetic processing, these different waveforms. I mean, if you know anything about the Schumann resonance, you know, it's sort of like a metronome, a timing device that sort of shows how we function mentally, electromagnetically, you know, within our body, our endocrine systems. And if you know that 60 hertz, I think it's either the seventh or the ninth harmonic off of the Schumann resonance. And again, by using harmonics, you can actually potentiate something. You can actually, if we are actually, you know, because of where we live, where we grew, yeah. where we evolved, if you can find out the timing of that, which is, you know, 7.8 hertz or whatever it is, and you can use this very tricky thing that electrical engineers, a lot of people who've done a lot of research all the MK Ultra, all that stuff. I mean, they were heavily into the use of mechanisms or these harmonics to actually control. And, I mean, it gets really heavy. It gets very technical. But, I mean, this stuff, I've heard engineers in Silicon Valley talk about this as a way of helping executives deal with stress.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, this isn't just like, you know, science fiction. I mean, I knew a company just down the street from where Jared Lanier's company was that was heavily into this. They were putting people in beds that had speakers underneath, and they were trying all types of frequencies and sort of seeing, you know, what they do on creativity tests and stress management tests. I mean, this stuff was being done in 85 by commercial companies, and I even knew another person that was using, you know, he was the brother of a very famous psychedelic advocate, and he came back, and he started working for a company. It was a biomedical company in Mountain View to sort of use components of these psychedelic drugs that were, you know, being put out by, you know, CIA and other people during the 60s. He was using components of that, you know, factions of that, to say, here is another executive pill. You know, we get these executives in the high-tech community coming every day saying, I'm going out of my mind. Well, we have something. It's a little bit esoteric. But by using this little thing that you can wear on your belt that attaches, you know, to your, you know, to sort of modify your electromagnetic field, and then you just take this little tab and put it under your tongue, and guess what? You're going to perform wonderfully in the boardroom today. And, I mean, they had people lining up saying, I don't care if it's experimental, I need an edge. And this was like in 1985, 1986.
Yeah, and that's something that guys like Steve Jobs admitted to.
Oh, yeah. I met him twice. He immediately, it only took him about 35 seconds to realize that I was a person that didn't matter. So I can say I shook a weak hand of his, and then he looked me in the eye, asked me a question, and then turned his back on me before I could give my answer, because he just, like, saw through me and said, you're not a player, or at least you're not a player, the type of player that I need to grow this wonderful tech company that will give massive advantage to everyone to enter into a world of wonderment where the dust will know what you want.
Yeah.
Scary.
Isn't that something? Yeah, and he's, you know, that's stuff, you know, again, you look back at the old B-movie sci-fi stuff in the early 20th century, and you start to see these guys, you know, and then, you know, skipping forward. So they were programming the public with this predictive programming stuff, and they weren't guessing about the future. They were trying to, you know, preparing everyone for it. And so that's why when I read that excerpt from the article that I was referring to recently, Israeli startup Check is using military-grade tech to fight fake news. When you hear this guy, Unit 8200, you know, former Israeli, you know, IDF guy, former, wink, wink, talking about the deep fake stuff and fake news stuff, when he says, he's quoted as saying, we're going to see a lot of things that even Hollywood couldn't think up 20 or 30 years ago. To me, that is, I mean, that's extremely alarming, because I'm pretty sure that's not hyperbolic language. And to understand, you know, what Hollywood has made, the futuristic Philip K. Dick stuff in particular, it's, none of it was sci-fi. It was always science future.
And it becomes even more insidious if you can. I mean, the one thing that Hollywood does is, I mean, it puts it on the big screen. And so, I mean, sometimes you get so caught up in the surround sound and the big wide screen and the Technicolor and the fast action.
The immersive experience,
which is timed. You know, those little, you know, droids flying through the sky, they don't come across the screen just randomly. I mean, if you were to actually look at it and with a stopwatch, you would say 7.8, 7.8.
Yep.
You know, so you're being visually programmed at a very electromagnetic level, and no wonder you come out of there thinking like, damn, that looks good. You know, that certainly is a lot better than what I have to go back to when I leave the theater. But if you can have a technology where there is no awareness of sitting in a movie theater, you know, but the same thing, the same type of programming is being done, and you think you're sitting in your living room, and you are using a tool that's going to give you or your children an advantage, and everything, you know, imaginary has been removed. You know, you're in your real life, or so you think, and yet the programming is going on. Like when I talked about, you know, going on this extreme digital diet, you know, everyone can say, well, oh, come on, come on. You know, it's not that bad, but you know, what did I learn? Well, it only took about a month and a half before I learned that many of the concerns that I was being wrapped up in, you know, that I was, you know, going up, waking up every day and trying to find more and more and more on it, those concerns started falling away, you know?
Yeah.
And I thought, well, wait a minute, maybe that's a sign of me.
I've had a similar conviction, which is why I've spent less and less time on the headlines lately, and not that I ever really did, but as tying those things to, you know, the other things. So just, you know, I've had a similar conviction, I will say. Wow. Great information. Thank you, William. Much appreciated, as always.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
A couple of things. I can hear Lark saying, you know, speaking of the enemy close, Pogo. We've met the enemy, and the enemy is us. And by the way, that was a climate change strip Walt Kelly did, you know, just for... But if you're interested in this kind of stuff, maybe do a search. Not, you know, we talked about that, but probabilism and cybernetic. You'll find some interesting things. That'll do it for today's broadcast. I hope it was informative. As always, it truly is an honor and a pleasure. Take care. God bless. We'll catch you on the other side.
By mass media, it's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.